Investments, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend John Couch, John engineering and producing our program. And together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's Tuesday, the 21st of January, 2020. We are coming to you from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. We're on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. Have worldwide live listening. You can hear this program anywhere in the world at buckmastershow.com and, of course, kvoi.com. We've got a extensive multi-year archive of podcast programs available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. Our live line number is 790-2040. We get right at it with Amber Smith. Amber joins us now as we approach the 2 full years of her leadership as the chief executive officer and the president of the Tucson Metro Chamber. Hi, Amber.
Good afternoon, Bill.
How would you characterize your 2 years heading up the chamber?
Transitional. Mm. I think that the last 2 years has shown a very clear direction for the chamber to move forward. Many don't know that the organization's 123 years old, so it's really important for us to set up a structure and a vision moving forward so that we can be around another 123 years.
You go back to territorial days.
That's right, we do, and it started as a grocers association back
really?
Then.
Mm-hmm. A grocery store kind
of? A grocers association. Huh. I don't know how many numbers of grocery stores possibly could have been around back then. But that was the catalyst.
In this day of social media with people sending messages constantly all day, how do you stay relevant, Amber Smith, as a chamber?
You know what? It's a question chambers are asking themselves across the country. And to your point, you're talking about the importance of chambers and offering those networking opportunities and connections and how to keep that fresh. We agree. That is a critical component of chambers. So we have to start innovating as to what those opportunities look like. You know, but our core mission really has to do with advocating for businesses. And so our lobbying efforts across three levels of government is how we intend to stay relevant, as well as addressing those major business issues that occur. Workforce development right now is one that we have highlighted and recognized to be a critical issue of pretty much every business we have come across.
Yeah, because without workforce development, Amber, when a new company looks to whether they want to relocate to Tucson, if you don't have a workforce development, you're off the list.
That's absolutely correct. And think about also the future of those businesses that need that future talent pipeline. And something we are concerned about is supply and demand of talent. So as an example, our current workforce, we are satisfying the demand for those high-level, high-skilled workers. But down at the bottom, our surplus of low-skilled workers far exceeds what our demand is. And yet, as you would guess, that middle level of skills, our supply is less than that demand. So it's really important for us to identify ways to grow that low-level skilled worker and grow them into a middle-skilled worker so that we can address those employers' needs for today and tomorrow.
How do you look at our economy right now, Amber?
Our economy is strong. Mm-hmm. I see absolutely that to be true. But this worker issue is really difficult. And you had talked about bringing talent in, and you're right. It is talent, talent, talent are those, you know, top three reasons a company chooses to relocate in a particular community. And something that we are concerned about, and I know that Zach on his show has talked about, is cost of housing. Uh-huh. And for our community, one of those things that makes us competitive is the fact that we have affordable housing. And I don't mean in that term of government subsidies, but I mean housing that is affordable to be able to rent and purchase, whether you are that first time home buyer or that middle level talent that's about 10 years into your career about to start a family. We have to keep those prices at a point to where as talent comes in, their wages can afford those homes. And that gap is widening.
Yeah, because entry-level homes are out of the question in some areas of the country, namely California.
California, and even Oregon has priced themselves out in Portland.
Wow. So with the younger workers, and I know Zach talks about this a lot, is getting young people to take a look at Tucson after they graduate.
That's right. That's right.
Take a second look, maybe.
That's right.
Rather than their freshman year, I can't wait to get out and get somewhere that they feel is perceived more exciting.
It's absolutely right. And there is this notion that we don't retain any of our graduating university students.
That once graduation's over, within 24 hours, they are in a car or on a plane out of here.
That's right. But the reality is we are retaining about 30%.
Are we?
And that is not, it's actually a little bit better than other universities. Hmm. And so some of the decisions driving that, one is going to be students go back to where they're from. And here we are at least lucky with the fact that many of our students are Tucsonans. Some it's going where the jobs are. Hmm. You know, we kind of already talked about that. And then some, it is that I want to experience something different.
Sure.
And, you know, the fact that we're able to keep those that are from Tucson as well as those that find those jobs brings you up to about 30%, which is a fairly significant number. What we really have a problem with is that middle-level worker. You know, like I talked about that supply and demand is the irony is we hear so much many talents saying, you know, I'm ready to move that next level in my career and there are no jobs here.
Yeah, so it's not necessarily an entry level. That's not the area. It's the person that's been, have some experience, maybe 5-10 years.
Exactly.
And that's beginning to be a seasoned professional that would be highly sought after in a management position. And those are the kind of people that you really would like to move to your area, but perhaps they're a little harder to get here.
That's right. And so we really want to target that. Tucson's a great place to raise a family. Mm-hmm. You know, as someone that lives here and has three young boys, we absolutely enjoy the size of our community and access to different things.
And the different recreation areas. I follow you and your lovely family on Facebook. You guys like to, you know, go up to northern Arizona and experience that and let the kids play in the snow. We're positioned for families, I think, in a very good way.
I think so.
So where do we go now next? What is, I know Zach likes to talk about branding Tucson. Is there a different brand for your area of economic development and a different brand necessary for tourism?
You know,
I know people knock the old Pueblo, just the word old drives a lot of people crazy.
I know, or the dirty tea. Yeah. I mean, there's all of these different things. Mm-hmm. So Zach serves as one of our co-chairs of the Chamber's Talent Attraction and Retention Task Force. Mm-hmm. And so we talk about this a lot. And the consistent part of the conversation, and mind you, the people around that table are the HR executives of some of our largest employers, all the way down to those small businesses with a couple, three people that are growing, and then our educators and our regional players, so the county, the city, obviously the university and the college. What we've consistently said is we don't Google well. Mm-hmm. And it's not that we are so awful. It's just our Googleability is poor. And so if we can really make sure to put our best foot forward, that's going to start changing things because there are a lot of great things. We have the city of gastronomy. We have the innovation. We have housing. While we are concerned about that gap, it is still affordable for homeowners. We have different aspects of our community, our weather. I mean, I don't want to over or underplay that, but it's a very big deal for those Midwesterns that come out here during the winter and they go, holy cow.
And it's been the fundamental of selling this place forever.
Forever, TMC. That's how it got started because of the sunshine. So that's our first step is let's really work on that SEO and Google better. And let's get on the same playlist that here are these 10 positive things that we know about our community, whether it is visitors or companies or what have you, and feed off of each other that way. Because ultimately, it's those same reasons why all of those are successful, why the university is able to recruit from out of state, why Visit Tucson's bringing in new visitors and what companies are coming as well.
We don't Google well, beginning with the way Tucson is spelled.
Indeed.
People misspelling Tucson right off the bat, right?
That's fair.
So what's your goal here for the legislature quickly?
Our core
I know you've
issues.
Got a big lobbying effort
we
going
do.
On.
We do. We have a dedicated lobbyist at the state, but we will stay focused on infrastructure, workforce development, K-12. So we want to get that fourth-year JTED funded. We want some funding dedicated at Pima Community College. We want the Board of Regents plan for the three different universities working together approved, and we need some cash for major infrastructure improvements along I-10.
All right, Amber Smith, the CEO and president of the Tucson Metro Chamber, wrapping up two full years. She begins year number three, actually, next week. Thanks, Amber, for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
It's the Bookmaster Show, one of our great sponsors. Do you like bakery goods?
Of course.
No, Mona's Danish Bakery, Amber, should be your choice. Mona's, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Owner and chief baker Steve has that grill all fired up each morning at 6:30. They're ready now for breakfast. If you still want to do breakfast, no problem. Of course, they're ready to serve you lunch as well. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Visit monasdanishbakery.com. There's also a link not only to Mona's, but a couple of dozen great partners that have made our program possible for the past 9 years as we've launched this month into year number 10. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Shelley Fishman up next. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, It is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
Not only is Shelley Fishman an outstanding financial consultant and commentator, maybe most importantly, he's a nice guy. Hey, Shell.
Hey, Bill. How are you?
Doing very well. What a strange day. It looked like the markets were going to be very flat today, and then one thing after another, and suddenly we're pushing almost down 200 points.
Yeah,
what
I don't know
heck?
Exactly what's causing it, but yeah. Any number of things. You know, there's this impeachment thing going on, and the Supreme Court has now refused to accelerate the decisions on Obamacare. So I think there could be some things that have just spooked the markets a little bit today. It's a very distracting time for investors.
I don't think it's really anything being said over in Switzerland at the start of Davos, which is pretty much ground zero for capitalism in the world. And they're talking about one of their themes at the event in Switzerland where the president spoke today. They're talking about how do they include stakeholders? And this is something you and I have talked about for years on this program.
Yeah, Bill, in fact, that's the theme of the Davos conference this year. And it's come to the forefront largely because the head of the, let me get this right. I want to make sure that I say this correctly. It's not the Business Roundtable, but it's another well-known business group. The current president of that is the president of Salesforce in San Francisco, and he did a white paper on balancing the needs of various stakeholders as a substitute priority list for corporations, and has really said that, look, it's not just the stockholder who we have to serve. We have to serve our customers. We have to serve our employees. We have to serve our communities. We have to serve the people who are our suppliers and our supply chain. And, you know, very often those different stakeholders have kind of diverging interests.
Yes.
You know, customers want lower prices. Mm-hmm. Suppliers want higher costs. You know,
employees want more money.
More money, exactly. So how do you balance those needs? And that's a much more complex job than just maximizing shareholder wealth in the short term. Now, that said, there's a political overlay to this. You would expect, you know, there always is going to be one of those. But the political overlay is that there have been some surveys recently, and the one that I'm referring to most recently is a survey taken by the Edelman Trust Barometer, and it surveyed 34,000 people in 28 countries. And the conclusion of the survey is that the capitalist system is failing the people that it's supposed to serve. Mm. So those stakeholders, the citizenry, communities, employees, etc., are feeling let down by capitalism. And so I think that is in some ways why we're seeing such interest in reorienting managers to take into effect the interests of so many different groups of stakeholders. But, you know, some of these numbers are really, gosh, they're kind of staggering. 78% of
those
respondents
surveyed, yeah,
said that regular people were struggling. And in fact, in the most wealthy of the industrialized countries, the distrust of capitalism was the highest. so that those countries that seemingly are doing the best have raised, the populace has raised the largest questions about whether capitalism is serving their needs. Look, we see that in the politics today. We see that in the attractiveness of some of the things Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren are saying. We see this unrest even among those people who are kind of make America great again, you know, people who know in their hearts that they haven't gotten a raise in 40 years.
Right.
And that capitalism is not working for them. So this is something that's really, I think, at the forefront of where business intellectuals are kind of focusing. And that's what Davos is about this year. It's this loss of trust in capitalism. Three-quarters of those surveyed believe that companies do have the ability to balance those needs, and that three-quarters of them believed that it's up to the CEOs of those companies to take the initiative in making sure that their companies are doing everything they can to properly balance those needs. And this is stuff that even, you know, when we were talking about it 5-6 years ago, it was cutting edge. And now it's right in the middle of what the conversation is about.
And what was this? 83% indicated a concern about losing their jobs for various reasons, like a weak economy, lack of job security, automation, or a lack of skills. So you're talking about pretty much everybody surveyed is worried about keeping a job.
Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
When unemployment rates are at historic lows,
it is very strange.
People are feeling very uncertain about it. And part of the problem, of course, is technology. Part of the problem is people are seeing that the jobs that they have today are replaceable, and replaceable either by younger workers, so we have ageism and we have this conflict between the various groups of people in different age categories, and we see technology as moving so fast that it's almost impossible to keep up with.
So you had most people believing that were surveyed that modern-day capitalism does more harm than good in the world, and the obvious question is, what would replace it?
Well, we don't know.
Yeah.
We have some examples of where there have been, you know, attempts to replace it with something more socialist, and we see the failures of lots of that, both in emerging economies and also in some economies that had been doing very well, like Venezuela. We see
then you have the Scandinavian form of capitalism,
which is a more state-sponsored capitalism. Ian Bremmer talks about this in a book from the early 2000s. Where a new form of capitalism that is intended to meet the needs of the state and to create a safety net for its population, that is supplanting some of the laissez-faire capitalist principles that we've had. And you see that in some of the surveys about where people are happiest. And interestingly, Finland and the Scandinavian countries
are where
people seem to be happiest, even though their tax rates are higher than pretty much anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not always intuitive. And the one thing that I found from this survey that was very, very important is that individuals at approximately 82% of those surveyed said it's the responsibility of their employers to retrain them. The responsibility of their employers to do the kind of training that will keep them relevant and keep them employed. And they don't see that happening today.
And that automation is a big thing.
Absolutely. And that's
a lot of people worrying about that.
Sure.
Yeah.
So now automation should create more jobs than it destroys, but we're not getting that message across. And the jobs that it creates are very often, as the president of the chamber was just talking segment, that the people who should be taking or need to be taking those jobs are not qualified to take them.
Mm-hmm.
So retraining is critical, and I hope they spend a bunch of time at Davos talking about corporate responsibility to their employees for keeping them relevant.
We're getting back to the markets. We're still at record highs. We're over 29,000, right?
We are. Today is an aberration. I don't know where the market is going long term, and, you know, at some point, we will have a pullback, but right now we are a decade of increasingly climbing markets, and those people who were invested, even if they are invested conservatively, have done pretty well.
Last year, what was the market? Oh, was gosh. Up? It was up
almost 30%.
30%. Right. That's got to be
even
one
the
of the
bond
biggest
market,
years. Yeah.
Even the bond market, when you include dividends and interest payments in the bond market, were almost at 20%. Mm-hmm. So you don't need to have your money in a CD at the bank, mm-hmm. Earning 1%. Now, the good thing about a CD at the bank earning 1% is it's absolutely safe because it's insured.
Yes.
But there are other ways to do better than that.
Yeah.
And a part of your savings, assuming that you have some savings, a part of those savings should be appropriately invested.
All right.
You want to participate in this market.
All right. Shelley Fishman, always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
See you next week.
People can find out more about Shelley and all of our contributors, regular contributors to this program, at buckmastershow.com. Coming up now on our CBS Network News, we'll take a one-minute break for CBS. Then we'll hear from the great Buckmaster Show sponsors. Then we talk about the sorry state of American diplomacy. That's next.
CBS News Special Report. Democrats are arguing for a fair process as the Senate impeachment trial of President Trump gets underway. House Manager Adam Schiff said Americans are entitled to the truth.
This trial should not reward the president's obstruction by allowing him to control what evidence is seen and when it is seen and what evidence will remain hidden.
White House counsel Pat Cipollone.
You look at those articles alone and you will determine that there is absolutely no case.
Both sides have agreed to some changes in the proceedings. CBS's Allison Keyes has the details.
What's different now is that the record of the House impeachment proceedings will automatically be admitted into evidence. Previously, a vote would have been required. Also, both the White House defense team and House managers will have 3 days instead of just 2 days to make 24 hours of opening statements.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Pam Coulter.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster, and you know how I love to travel. I've always searched for that new destination or travel experience that makes life so special. And I looked to Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel for insight on current travel trends.
This is Ryan Hansen, and I'd like to personally invite your listeners to the Bon Voyage Travel Showcase. Over 40 travel partners will be on hand to answer all the individual travel questions that you have. Bill, you and I are going to team up for a joint presentation to help your listeners discover all the world has to offer.
I'm looking forward to it, Ryan, talking about the inspiration behind my lifetime of travel to more than 100 countries.
Join us on February 16th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Hilton El Conquistador for Bon Voyage's free travel showcase.
And look no further, the folks at Bon Voyage will help you plan that perfect journey.
Be sure to visit bvtravel.com to RSVP.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, my goodness, what a great destination. Not only for all of your green things, all of your nursery supplies, some beautiful, beautiful flowers. In fact, there's just like growing. They've got beautiful greenhouse after greenhouse loaded with beautiful things for your winter garden. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. But not only does Green Things have all of your gardening needs, they also have beautiful merchandise from Zocalo. For years, Zocalo was over by Country Club and Broadway. They're now part of the Green Things family, and the beautiful furniture, much of it hand-carved from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe, is there at Green Things in their Zocalo Village. Couple of websites for you, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. The sorry state of American diplomacy is artfully articulated in a new book titled From Sadat to Saddam, The Decline of American Diplomacy in the Middle East. The book offers a fresh perspective on the polarization and politicalization of the United States diplomatic corps, and also how we have become so militarized in our U.S. foreign policy in the Middle East. The book begins with the 1981 assassination of Egyptian President Anwar Sadat. It continues through two Gulf Wars and ends with the United States withdrawal of combat troops from Iraq in 2011. The author is David Dunford, who served 3 years as the United States ambassador to the Sultanate of Oman. He served 4 years, including the 1990-91 Gulf War, as the deputy ambassador to Saudi Arabia. He's a member of the governing board at the University of Arizona Center for Middle Eastern Studies. He's taught courses on the Arab-Israeli conflict and the Middle East business environment. He's the co-author of a book titled Talking to Strangers, The Struggle to Rebuild Iraq's Foreign Ministry. It's good to see you, Ambassador Dunford.
Great to be back, Bill.
Tell me a little bit about how the genesis of this book, which comes at a time when we're getting some other books about diplomacy and the Middle East.
Well, I thought I had a story to tell. It's a memoir of my 30 years working in or on the Middle East. And I wanted, first of all, to tell students, which I've had many, what a diplomat does. and also to highlight the politicization and militarization of our foreign policy, and finally to suggest a way forward to make it better.
Why now, though, for these books? Is it does it coincide with what many people see as the decline of diplomacy during the Trump administration?
Well, clearly, the Trump administration has practically gone to war against the career foreign service. You'll remember many career professionals were testifying in the House impeachment hearings. But my argument is that the decline in our diplomatic capability began years and years ago. I felt like the 1980s was kind of a high point for career diplomats in the Middle East, and it has been downhill since then.
You're going to be involved with a panel discussion coming up. It's Thursday at 7 o'clock. You're going to be talking about the latest developments in the Middle East, including taking out of the General Soleimani. That's going to be Thursday evening at 7, and the location will be the Harville Building on the University of Arizona campus, room 150, and the event should be very, very timely. Tell me a little bit about your feelings about taking out Soleimani. We had other opportunities, apparently, in the past. Why now?
Well, the best line I've heard on this is it's like starting a chess game with only the first move in mind. I think it's a reflection of the lack of strategy and process and foreign policy decision-making under the Trump administration. The option, I presume, was presented by the military as one of many, and in this case, the president obviously chose it because perhaps Soleimani insulted him in a tweet or perhaps he's trying to divert attention from the current impeachment hearings going on.
Did it make a big, or will it make a big difference having Soleimani out of the picture? Or, as many might and have speculated, someone else is always ready in these kinds of situations to step up and take his place?
Sure. It's not going to bring Iran to its knees. Soleimani was a very skilled adversary, and few, if any, Americans are going to miss him. But at the same time, there was no effort to look at the second and third order consequences. I'm also very concerned, as I think many of us should be, about the legality of targeted assassinations, particularly an assassination of a leader of a country which, you know, has 80 million people.
Somebody did some research on this, Ambassador Dunford, and the last time we actually had a targeted assassination attempt, or in this case successful with Soleimani, 1943, Admiral Yamamoto shot down near the Solomon Islands. And of course that was during World War II, but that's really the last time anything like this has happened.
And
the United States.
And we were in a declared war.
Oh, yes.
Whereas in Iran, many might call it a war, but it's certainly not declared yet. And, Iran is going to keep coming at us. I'm not sure what our strategy is. Secretary Pompeo has said that it's confront and contain. President Trump has tweeted that Iran will never have a nuclear weapon. Well, how do we get there? And right at the moment, I don't see a way other than the hope that Khamenei, the supreme leader, stumbles to the border and puts his hands up. And I don't think that's likely to happen.
You've been in the front row, really, of some tremendous developments in the Middle East. And getting back to this decline of diplomatic capacity, how much of it has to do with, I understand maybe 60% of diplomatic posts are filled. That would leave maybe 40% of the diplomatic corps that posts have never been filled in the Trump administration. How big a deal is that in this decline?
Well, I'm very much a believer that we need diplomats everywhere, because there's something going on in every country that we need at least to keep a hand in. And if you don't have an ambassador there, the embassy leader, the chargé, the number two guy, doesn't have the clout and influence that an ambassador will have. So it's very important to have those posts filled. One of my concerns is that even before Trump, 70% of ambassadorial posts were filled with career and 30% with appointees. Under Trump, that number of appointees has gone up close to 50%.
Oh, really? That many of that are political appointees? Yeah.
And, you know, a trained diplomat should be very much like a trained general. You need experience. You need a lot of specific training. And, you know, these political appointees don't have that. Some of them are great, but most of them are not.
How did you get into the Foreign Service, David Dunford?
I wanted to be an astronaut. I went to MIT and finally decided that maybe I wasn't cut out for that line of work. And I got interested in the rest of the world and went to graduate school in political science and took the Foreign Service exam and thought I'd try it for a year or two. And 29 years later, I retired.
Some of these areas where you have served, Egypt, what are your reflections right now on how Egypt is doing?
Egypt is in an unhappy place. You know, we're very, very unhappy with Mubarak because he was a dictator, and now we have a dictator who, frankly, is worse, who allows less political expression and has done a job of harsher repression than under Mubarak. So Egyptians are not in a good place. They're some of my favorite people, but they're struggling now.
Oman?
Oman has
where
done,
you spent 3 years.
Has done very well. Of course, the thing we feared most was the transition when the Sultan died, and the Sultan has just died. He was a remarkable man. I will say I'm very pleased with the choice of his successor. It's a man I knew when he was a deputy foreign minister and worked closely with when I was in Oman.
Who is that?
His name is Haytham bin Tariq. He's a cousin of the Sultan, of the late Sultan, although his father was much younger than the Sultan's father.
We're going to take a break right here. We'll be back with David Dunford, Ambassador Dunford, talking about his book, which really is it's a fascinating read about how the Middle East and the policy in the Middle East has changed. The name of the book, From Sadat to Saddam, The Decline of American Diplomacy in the Middle East. David, where is this book available?
The book's available virtually any bookstore, Antigone or Amazon or the University of Arizona bookstore.
Okay, we'll continue with David Dunford right after this on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the program presented by my good friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. That's a beautiful area of the land of enchantment, that southwest corner. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find all sorts of recreation opportunities, some great ideas, including visiting the world-famous Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument, which if you've not been up there, it's a beautiful area. It's just north of Silver City, and that area, that national monument, one of the oldest in the United States. Also, there's a list of great places to stay. And again, the website, southwestnewmexico.org. We continue now our discussion with Ambassador David Dunford, who's had a long career in the diplomatic service, served 3 years as the ambassador, United States ambassador to Oman. He's been in Egypt. He certainly knows the Middle East. His new book, From Sadat to Saddam, The Decline of American Diplomacy in the Middle East. Ambassador, we're going to go to our live line right now. If you just slip on that headset right now, so you'll be able to hear the question from caller Matt, would like to speak with you, Ambassador. Go ahead, Matt.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for writing the book. It's hard to frame a question because the Middle East is so confusing right now. You have the three main players, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, and Iran. I blame Saudi Arabia for many of the problems, although obviously Iran is a bad actor. Generally speaking, now that we're post-exit of JCPOA and post-Soleimani's killing, what happens if Iran does obtain a nuclear weapon at this point?
That's a good question, Matt. Let's hear from the ambassador.
Well, we are determined, at least according to President Trump, to make sure they never obtain a nuclear weapon. And I've been asking the question, how are we going to get there? How are we going to stop them now that the JCPOA is gone? You mentioned Turkey and Saudi Arabia. I'm not sure either one is in a position to counter Iranian influence all that effectively. In fact, the Saudis apparently were reaching out to Iran through Iraq, and Soleimani, at least according to the Iraqis, was coming to Iraq to discuss that rapprochement between Saudi Arabia and Iran.
Wow, I did not know that.
So basically, we need a strategy, and I just don't see the ability of this administration to formulate a strategy, nor do I see the ability of the administration to put together enough capable diplomats to execute it. We do have diplomats in Turkey and Saudi Arabia, neither of whom have acted particularly well in recent years. And of course, we have no diplomatic relations at all with Iran. The negotiation of the JCPOA gave us at least some beginning steps to reestablishing a relationship with Iran, but now we have to start from ground zero.
And that acronym again, if you would give us what that is.
That's
roughly, yes.
That's the nuclear treaty with Iran, which was negotiated, of course, with Russia, China, England, France, Germany.
Do you agree with veteran diplomat Martin Indyke, who writes in the Wall Street Journal, the United States should finally set aside its grandiose ambitions for the Middle East? And the headline, somewhat deceiving in the Wall Street Journal over the weekend, the Middle East isn't worth it anymore. Some of your thoughts on that?
Yeah, the headline is misleading. I think Indyke is a thoughtful guy. And yeah. You know, what he writes is that we need to scale back our goals and our ambitions for the Middle East. We should stop trying to remake countries into our own image, Jeffersonian democracies, if you will. And I think that's realistic. We need to be there, though. We need to rely, however, much more on diplomacy and much less on military intervention. And I think we should also be very careful how much we rely on economic sanctions. Over the long term, economic sanctions could lead to a flight from the dollar as other countries try to figure out how to do business. With all the countries we're sanctioning, it's very difficult if they're all doing business in dollars. So that's a danger to us.
I mean, what did we do wrong? If you have to, in this limited time that we have, Ambassador Dunford in Iraq, if we could have taken a couple of steps back, what should we have done?
Well, first of all, we shouldn't have invaded Iraq. Once we did, we needed to do it with enough troops to establish stability, to protect ordinary Iraqi citizens while they put their lives back together. And we moved much too fast to eliminate far too many members of the Ba'ath Party, which alienated the Sunni, even though it's a minority, still a substantial amount of the Iraqi population. And dissolving the military wasn't very bright either. So with those mistakes, we really began the insurgency, which later, of course, turned into ISIS. So we did have an opportunity, I think, to turn the Iraqi invasion into something, if not good, at least satisfactory. But we only had a very short time to do it, and we squandered that time.
Name of the book, From Sadat to Saddam, The Decline of American Diplomacy in the Middle East. Would it have made a difference in the first Gulf War if we had taken out Saddam?
It was a bad idea then. Even Dick Cheney, who was sort of the architect of our invasion later, said we should just achieve our limited objective, which was to get Iraq out of Kuwait. There was a fear back then that we would end up, delivering the mail and organizing elections, and that's exactly what we ended up doing, and we weren't very good at it.
All right. I want to point out that you will be at the Tucson Festival of Books. That's coming up in March, 11:30 a.m. Sunday during the book festival, and there will be a tent for SBS, that's Social and Behavioral Sciences. So you'll be, your remarks will be at 11:30 Sunday morning over the book festival. Then coming up Thursday evening, this Thursday, 7 o'clock in the evening. You'll be involved on a panel discussion about the recent events in Iran. That will be in the Harville Building, room 150. So you're going to be very busy man, Ambassador, promoting the book and talking about these things. I very much appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Good to be here.
Ambassador David Dunford, the author of From Sadat to Saddam, The Decline of American Diplomacy in the Middle East. But one thing we didn't get to, bottom line question, there still is a future for diplomacy, correct, Ambassador?
There not only is a future, but it's essential if we were going to maintain our position in the world that we do diplomacy better.
Thank you very much, Ambassador. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Ambassador David Dunford and my engineer producer, John Couch, we hope you have a great afternoon and evening.